You know, I asked Bonnie to play that particular song tonight. I think it's so appropriate for what I'd like to share with you all tonight. So thanks, Bonnie. Thank you, Vicki, once again for this awesome opportunity to share what's on my heart and a little bit of God's word with you all. You know, when Bonnie asked me if I'd like to share tonight, I thought for a moment, you know, a lot of thoughts going through my head, and it was pretty clear what I wanted to share. So I'd like to tell you about a story that happened back in May here. I love stories, especially when God's involved in it. And it's something that is pretty amazing that when you look back and you recognize, you can see God at every step. I had to write this stuff down. You know, I write a lot of things down now. I still carry around a little 3x5 cards for me, and I get these thoughts and I'll start writing them down. But as most of you know, Vicki and I, we've been living in a small town up here in Maine for the past 4 years. Neighbors up here, they pretty much, they stay to themselves. They're pretty independent people. It's a whole different kind of a lifestyle. Lots of locals here, you know, they've been living here all their lives. You know, a guy's been living here for 87 years. All his life, he's never even left. Well, I got this family that lives directly across from me. I'm not going to use the names. I'll just say mom, dad, and daughter. They got two dogs. When we first moved in here, I went over and I introduced myself to the dad. I guess I'm a pretty friendly guy, kind of an outgoing guy. I like to meet people. He was cordial, but, you know, kind of distant, you know, an outsider moving in kind of thing. Well, over the past 4 years, we've only kind of waved, or he would acknowledge me when I would say good morning or have a nice day. Maybe he's pulling out of his driveway. Mom, though, she was very, very distant from us. She wouldn't even look our way. So, you know, we couldn't even make eye contact. It was like eye contact was just wasn't happening. And my mom, she had the eye contact thing down. You know, you couldn't get nothing past her. She used to tell us that the eyes were the windows to your soul, she used to say. Well, they got a daughter. She's about 14, 15 years old. She's a sweet little girl. We usually just, you know, like I say, we wave, we say hi when she goes by. But I've noticed something, and you can't help but notice something in a small town, especially when you live right across the street, that something's been off with this dad. He's been home most of the time here lately, and mom, she's gone. She only comes back occasionally. The daughter, she's still living over there with dad. Dad drinks a lot. I mean, and he can get very loud. It appears, though, he drinks from sun up to sunset. Well, a couple of days ago, I heard him say, now, I got to remind you, I'm telling you a story that happened back in May. So it was a couple of days ago from when I was writing this that I heard him screaming. He was screaming in so much pain in his house. And then he was outside of his house. I mean, this is blood-curdling scream. He was on his hands and his knees in gut-wrenching pain. Let me go back just a little bit. About a week before all this, the ambulance came, and they took him away to the hospital. He came home, and we've noticed that he's been walking really slow. He bent over again, and he was out on the porch again, doubled over, screaming in excruciating pain. So I went over. It was like more like, get on over there, Wally. So I really wasn't sure what to do. So I started talking to him, and I asked him what was wrong, obviously, and how could I help. He said the pain was in his back. The doctor said it was something about my discs. I asked, what did they do for you? He said they gave me some muscle relaxers and said to come back when they don't work. That answer kind of surprised me. I know what booze and muscle relaxers can do to you. Then he says, my wife left me. He said, 23 years we've been married. I don't know why she left me. Then he says, yes, I do know. He said, I haven't been able to work. My electric's about to be cut off, just about ready to be turned off. This guy, he does side work. He's like a carpenter, handyman kind of a guy. I asked him, I says, can I pray for you and your situation? This guy was in so much pain. After I prayed for him, he kind of just stumbled back into his house. Well, a couple days passed, and once again, he was out on his porch, doubled over, screaming in excruciating pain. I says, God, show me what to do. So I went over to his house, and now he's on his knees crying in pain. He said it was his stomach. So I just held his hand, and we prayed. When I was done, I said, man, can I take you to the hospital? He refused. He said his mom was on the way. About 20, 25 minutes or so, I saw his mom. He stumbled into a car, and off they went. 2 days later, I saw his wife, who I haven't seen for a while. Like I told you, they got two dogs, and she was over there tending to them, you know, letting them out do the business, feed them, I guess, and she's not very friendly and not very sociable, but I had to ask her. I says, how's Dad doing? Did he have surgery? not wanting to really give me any, any information. I didn't want any information. All I wanted to know was how the guy's doing. She said, he's in the hospital. He had surgery. He's going to be down for a long time. He's got a lot of other issues. She's like I say, she's really not very sociable. So I told her, I said, well, give him our best. We're going to continue to pray for his full healing. About 2 weeks or so passed. A lot of people have been coming and going, taking care of the dogs, and a lot of activity going over there. They've been, fixing rails and cutting the grass and stuff. Well, that next Monday, I noticed Dad back on the porch, looking very, very thin. Now, he's kind of a muscular guy, stocky young man. When I say young man, he's probably about 45, maybe 40, 45, 50 years old. But he's looking really rough at this point. I went over to see him and see how he's doing. He says, I died on the way to the hospital that day my mom took me. He says, they had a lifeline for me. He said, by the time we got to Anson, now Anson, that's probably about 30 minutes from here. Not too far. He said they had to stop the car, they called the EMTs, and they had a life flight me because I died. He told me some of the specifics about it. He says it was an ulcer that had ate through and caused all kinds of issues. They cut me from stem to stern, his chest down to his belly button for the surgery. I says, man, you're still here for a reason, brother. Ain't God so good? He just kind of looked at me and said, yeah. Still pretty distant. But I wanted to share this story tonight just to show you guys how God works in such a magnificent way. Doesn't his word tell us in John 14:12, Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, so shall he do. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, that will I do. Guys, we got so many, many wonderful examples of God's word of healing, his compassion and understanding, his kindness, his love. But just knowing all this great, wonderful stuff is just that. I tell you, it takes, I guess, kind of getting out of my comfort or our comfort zone, so to speak. Now I'm speaking for myself. Maybe you guys can relate, but I can get pretty comfortable sometimes. But when I kept hearing this guy screaming, and knowing his history, he's a drinker, he ain't very sociable, he ain't very friendly, I really, to be honest with you guys, I was a little bit reluctant at first. What could I do? God said, pray now. So, that question comes up in my mind, what if? What if I wasn't on the porch that day to hear him or to hear God? What if we didn't live here? I guess we could all find things in our lives that we ask that same question. What if? What if nobody spoke the word to us at that one time? I was so blessed. I was amazed. I was just blown away. I didn't expect to hear that this guy died, and here he is today. After all, this is Acts now, right? Some might say, oh man, that's just a coinkydink. I don't think so. We know that's not no coinkydink. We know what happened. Prayer is so, so powerful. My answer to that guy that says it's a coinkydink is to take a look at Proverbs 3. We trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not in thy own understanding. In all thy ways we acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. I think this story is it's just one of the great examples of God's word living and alive today. At first I wasn't really sure what to do. I just knew I had to do something. Today, my neighbor, he appears to be doing pretty well. It's kind of like the best I've ever seen him. He's still kind of distant. It's a little bit more sociable, but I gotta say, ain't it great to see prayer work, guys? Things happen when we pray, and we have that God, and we do. We have that God-given ability to pray perfectly. Thank you for that gift, Father, that gift of Holy Spirit. And don't God's words just really seem to ring true when you see it? We've heard this so many, many times before. I know every one of us have heard this here. The more we get into the Word, the more the Word gets into us. That's a true statement, man. That's a true story. So, guys, I'm just going to say thanks for listening. It's sweet nights like this, sweet nights of fellowship like this that we can share God's word and we can hear how his word is alive and it's moving everywhere. No matter where we are, there he is. We never walk alone. As we endeavor, we put on the mind of Christ and to believe God's awesome word. So once again, guys, thank you all for listening. We love you. And I thank God for your lives every day.